Hello and welcome to the first edition of the FT Advisor podcast of 2024. We hope you had a great Christmas. Happy New Year. Last year was certainly an eventful one from the point of view of news in the financial services sector. Let's see if the coming year is going to be just as eventful. I'm joined by three members of the FT Advisor news team to have a little bit of a chat about what we can expect from the coming 12 months and reflect a little bit about what happened over the past 12 months as well. I'm joined by news editor Amy Austin, deputy news editor Sonia Arch, and investment reporter Tara O'Connor. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
So we're going to start with you, Amy. One of the things that a lot of advisors and a lot of people in the platform world are going to be focusing on, they might even have been thinking about it over Christmas, is the lifetime allowance, which is being scrapped. There were some suggestions that some hopes more than suggestions maybe that this was the deadline for this was going to be pushed back, but it's happening in April whether they like it or not, isn't it?
Yeah, so there was concerns that, you know, a couple of months wouldn't be long enough for everyone to get ready, seeing as we kind of only just got the regulation on this just before Christmas. So yeah, as you said, I'm guessing a lot of advisors and providers out there may have spent their Christmas period trying to get ready and, you know, get their heads sorted about what this will mean for them. Several people have told me that, you know, advisors should be having conversations early this year, trying to like prepare clients for the scrapping of the LTA. So yeah, the LTA, you know, from early April will be gone. And instead there's going to be two new allowances in place of this LTA. So advisors are kind of going to have to, you know, make themselves familiar with these two new allowances, like how they work, you know, what's kind of go on there. And then there's also a number of transitional arrangements for those who have taken benefits before April 6th, 2024. So, you know, it's not no easy feat to kind of get this sorted and get this ready. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of man hours, especially in terms of providers, you know, getting their communications ready, getting their platform sorted, you know, changing everything up. I think that's where, you know, the concern is over timing, that it's just not a quick turnaround. And where we've been, you know, waiting for the regulations, I think while some providers would have, you know, been doing what they could have done early as possible, there's only so much you can do without knowing exactly like the extent of the changes. So now they've kind of got these, they can, you know, work a bit more towards this. But, you know, in the first quarter for advisors, of course, it will be a case of like getting clients in the best position possible for the incoming changes. For example, like crystallizing funds that are already over the lifetime allowance to avoid kind of, you know, these additional tests on the remaining lump sums on death and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's a lot of work to be done. I think everyone's going to be kind of watching that and seeing where that's going, seeing, you know, eyes will be on providers and platforms and et cetera to see how well they've done it, you know, what's going to be ready by the time. I mean, I think a lot. You know, there is a lot of regulation coming next year, but I do think that this is going to be one that's going to be taking the lead just because, you know, they're going to have 4 months to do it. So they've really got to put a lot of manpower onto this task.
Yeah. And two of the trends which we saw last year were the return of the annuity and also consolidation in the SaaS space. Do you think these are likely to continue into new year? Are they here to stay?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, with the last couple of years, annuities, you know, they weren't in favor just because of their rates. They weren't very good. So, you know, advisors weren't really looking at them as, you know, an option in retirement. But now the rates have gone up and, you know, they're doing quite well. I think a lot more advisors have turned their attention to annuities, and, you know, annuities should never be ignored because they are, you know, a good retirement planning tool, especially in the, I think, you know, they've come into their own in this kind of environment. because of the cost of living crisis and, you know, just how everything's just so up in the air at the moment, annuities, you know, are a guaranteed income. So you know what you'll be getting. So I think that's why advisors are probably turning to them more now as well, just because, you know, they can give that certainty in retirement a bit more. And yeah, and in terms of the SaaS consolidation market, you know, we have seen a lot of, you know, the big SaaS players, you know, buying other smaller SaaS firms like SaaS book, client books and stuff like that. I think this is, yeah, this is going to continue into 2024, just as more books maybe come up for sale. And, you know, the TPR hasn't exactly been, you know, not vocal on the fact that they don't want small schemes, you know, floating around out there. They do want, you know, these kind of gone, in a way. So yeah, so I think that will continue. And then, you know, in terms of SaaS market as well, there's a lot of eyes on what's going to be done with the levy. You know, there were before Christmas a lot of SaaS administrators out there worried that, you know, the third option of this £10,000 fee would be on SaaS schemes, which doesn't really work. You know, it would, you know, there was a lot of things going around saying it would be, you know, pretty much into the SaaS if this was to happen. But a lot of people have also said that hopefully this won't happen. You know, I know a lot of SaaS providers and schemes and whatever have replied to the consultation being like, this cannot happen. Like, this really shouldn't be an option. Or if it is an option, then SaaSes should be, you know, exempt from this like they've done in the past, just because of the way they work so differently. So yes, I think a lot of SaaS providers will be looking out for that in the new year as well. You know, we don't know when it's coming, but hopefully it will be good news for them.
Great. And something that a lot of people are going to be talking about this year around the country is going to be the election, which I think at the end of last year, the government may have confirmed that it will be happening this year, so it won't be in early January 2025. Pensions have been very political in recent years, so there's obviously going to be a shifting focus towards that and what Labour might do if it seems likely at the moment, but obviously this could change. They form the government after the election.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, all eyes are going to be on this. You know, pensions are one of them things, you know, they are political, and, you know, Conservatives will be like, oh, we're going to do this to pensions, and then, you know, Labour turns around and goes, don't agree with that, we're going to do this. And that's the problem with pensions, there's always so much change, and, you know, you'll get ready for something and then another government will come in and change it or tweak it or just scrap it all entirely. So I think there is a lot of, you know, worry about that, especially, I mean, the one thing I think people are worried about in terms of that at the moment is that, you know, Rachel Reeves did come out and say, once the government announced it was going to scrap the LTA, that actually she didn't agree with it, and she would have, if she, you know, Labour gets in, she's going to reverse it, which, you know, I imagine providers would want to pull their hair out. You know, you're going to spend all this time, you're going to be rushing the 4 months to April to get everything done, and then if Labour were to come in and reverse it all, you know, I think people would literally across the country would sit there and just scream, which would be, you know, I can't blame them for that. So yeah, I think that's one of the big, you know, concerns. But maybe if we were so far into the LTA being scrapped, it might be, you know, less likely that Labour could just go back and be like, nope, we're putting it back in. Like, I think, you know, maybe that's why this is being rushed through, just in case Labour does come in. That could be a reason, who knows? I'm not the Chancellor, I don't know what he thinks. That's just my thoughts on it. But yeah, so she has promised as well, Rachel Reeves, that a sweeping review of the pensions landscape, you know, like kind of boosting returns for savers and getting more money invested in like fast growing firms and stuff like that. So it's not too dissimilar to what the Conservatives are kind of trying to do with pensions at the moment. But, you know, if it's a different, you know, government, you know, they do come in and make changes, so it is a bit up in the air. You know, people do worry about pensions when it comes to like stuff like this, but there are things that, you know, will cross over, and I think that both governments, you know, would agree are a good thing, such as, you know, delivering the pensions dashboard. I can't see that going anywhere. I think both Conservatives and Labour would like to push forward on this and get this done. So I think, you know, it's likely that that will continue as normal. And then there's also, you know, auto enrolment. I think everyone agrees that, you know, these changes need to be made, you know, lowering the thresholds, lowering the age, etc. So I think them two kind of, we think they're, you know, good to stay. And then there's also, you know, continuing to promote these collective DC schemes. You know, 2024 is likely to see the first single employer CDC scheme go live at Royal Mail. And, you know, we're looking for regulation towards that, et cetera. So I think a Labour government as well as Conservatives would be, you know, attracted to see this going into 2024. So we will see.
Great, great. Thank you, Amy. Sonia, moving over to you, I mean, it's been a very busy year from a regulatory perspective, even until the last few weeks of last year. It was a the FCA was making announcements. Were there any particular highlights, if that's the right word?
Yeah, it was definitely an eventful December, to say. I think we normally expect it to quieten down, and the FCA seems to disagree with that. So it was extremely eventful. I think for kind of across 2023, the consumer duty was kind of the thing that everyone was talking about. It was the elephant in the room with kind of any conversation you were having. And it was all about kind of how the firms were preparing, the costs that were kind of associated with it and so forth. And then that sort of obviously happened in July last year. And then we got to December and it was all about kind of the advice guidance boundary, and that was kind of the big thing that came out, you know, multiple kind of things that were proposed. And it was quite interesting because obviously it was something that had been kind of been mentioned previously by the FCA, and it was something that was in talks, but it was not really materialized until then. And there were kind of a number of things that they obviously announced. A lot of it kind of ties in with the consumer duty. So obviously, the purpose of the duty was to kind of set higher standards and of consumer protection across financial services. And there was kind of a focus on putting consumers' needs first at kind of every stage of their journey. And the duty sort of had, you know, three cross-cutting rules that under which kind of companies must act in good faith and avoid sort of foreseeable harm and that sort of thing. So they all are reflected in the kind of new advice guidance boundary proposals that were obviously announced in December. And where we kind of go from that will be interesting to see how that materializes in 2024.
Mm-hmm. I guess these are big changes, aren't they? And they're likely to form the backbone of what happens over the next year. I mean, the advice guidance boundary stuff still hasn't been implemented. It's still out for consultation. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. However, I suppose regulatory changes that we saw was SDR, the FCA's ESG ESG rules, and I guess that's another big set of changes, which is also likely to form the backbone of a lot of the regulatory activity for the next 12 months or so.
Yeah, I think as Sonia said, kind of consumer duty was a huge talking point in 2023, and I think it's not going to really go away in 2024 either. Advisors will still kind of, and firms will still have to be getting to grips with that, but then at the same time, they're going to have to start thinking about the new SDR rules, which will first come in at the end of May, which will be the anti-greenwashing rules first, and then there'll be the kind of sustainable labels, which everyone's been waiting for a long time. I think is quite welcomed because it will hopefully make things a bit more transparent. But I think there'll be a lot of work for firms to kind of get to grips with exactly what it means and making it clear for consumers and their clients. It expects fund managers to kind of keep on reviewing the ranges and assessing whether they have to disclose or what they have to disclose in future.
Yeah, and of course there's this working group that the FCA has set up for advice rules as well, isn't it, which is going to produce some form of guidance, which may well be next year. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of that. One of the trends I guess we've seen next year, Sonia, coming back to you, is M&A activity, consolidation. This is going to be something, you know, this has been impacted by some of the macroeconomic events and higher rates, inflation. What do you think we're likely to see from that in the new year?
Yeah, I mean, with kind of obviously inflation forecast looking slightly more positive, some kind of experts have said that there's kind of a strong chance that business buyers will renew their attraction to the sector. So, you know, a more stable stock market could kind of, you know, have a huge impact. But there were sort of obviously causes for concern that regulation, you know, specifically consumer duty obligations, will have kind of a huge impact on small firms. That kind of combined with the sort of ever increasing aging demographic of advisors, which you know we constantly hear about, is likely to sort of impact the and kind of continue the consolidation of those smaller firms for the foreseeable future anyway. I think towards the end of last year, so around November, I think it was, the FCA released a consultation paper which kind of in part sort of looked at how kind of sold and closed down personal investment firms, so those that kind of provide advice and arrange deals, have kind of impacted the FCS. And, you know, the FCA has obviously always had influence over transactions and, you know, whether it's kind of a change in control processes or the sale of shares of a business or, you know, notifications that are kind of set out. But the consultation kind of notice that came out in November more suggests that the FCA could go further. They stated their intention to kind of reduce the burden on the FSCS, which in turn will obviously impact levies on individual firms. And that's something advisors will welcome, obviously, because the levies is kind of one of those topics that keeps coming up. But at the heart of their proposals was that firms are kind of to take more responsibility for the value of kind of potential redress claims in advance, and would kind of in essence mean that firms have to kind of keep more capital aside, both for kind of those that are in operation, but those that are also looking to deauthorize and kind of exit the market or sell up. And so that's kind of a requirement that firms need to keep money in the bank. And the key will obviously be how any of this new guidance is eventually implemented and how it's all kind of in the consultation stage. So it's hard to kind of say, but if that sort of materializes, then it could see a lot of sellers unable to kind of enjoy the fruits of their labor and following kind of the sale of their business. And so, yeah, it is going to be one to watch. I mean, it's M&A is one of those things that I feel like is constantly in every year we're talking about it, but we're not really sure where it's going. So yeah, it definitely seems like the FCA will have a part to play in that.
Yeah, sure. And of course, power consolidation isn't something that we've just seen in the advice market. It's also, you've also seen lots of activity in the platform market as well, and the wider investment management market as well. What are you seeing in terms of what the direction that's likely to go in the coming year?
I think there's been a lot of kind of platforms changing hands and consolidating in the last few years, and I don't think it's something that will get easier for them, as there's kind of basically less money around, less money going into platforms. A few of them will struggle. There have been some predictions that a big name platform could go out of business altogether in 2024, and I think it's just on platforms to kind of offer more to their clients now. A lot of them are introducing new kind of systems or just better technology to try and keep people on their platforms. And I think it will all be about them kind of improving their offer to see whether they can stay in business.
Yeah, interesting. Sonia, just to come back to you with one last point. Personally, I think the advice guidance boundary stuff that the FCA published last month is going to be a really fascinating thing to watch this year. Was there anything particularly that stood out with you that you think people should keep an eye on?
Yeah, so I mean, they obviously set out kind of three proposals for reforming the advice guidance boundary, and one of them was kind of a simplified advice option, and there was a targeted advice kind of approach, which I think both sort of stand out. They were largely obviously welcomed by a lot of people, because they'll start to offer more people access to advice, and they'll kind of benefit from investment opportunity. But obviously, it means that there's more for firms to do. the kind of new approach, one of the new approaches kind of allows firms to provide support to tailored groups of people in similar circumstances, as well as kind of the form of simplified advice, which makes it kind of easier for firms to provide affordable personal recommendations to clients with kind of more similar or straightforward needs. The targeted approach was one that kind of stood out. And I think the reason is kind of the fact that the FCA could, that an FCA kind of authorized firms could describe to a consumer the kind of different ways available to them for accessing their pension when they do for the first time, or kind of different sort of examples of that, I guess. And firms could also highlight that to a consumer kind of holding excess cash in their bank account that, you know, look, inflation could erode the value of that, or they could describe the value of investing and suggest products that are kind of suited to people like you in that kind of market, which is how they've sort of labeled it. The simplified advice proposal could obviously enable advisors to help consumers who want the kind of just reassurance of financial advice to invest a one-off lump sum. So I think that is probably what was expected by advisors, the simplified one, but the targeted one is one that it feels like is kind of a new standard that the FCA hopes will sort of reduce the time needed to collecting customer information, you know, things like the fact find, and then therefore bring down the overall cost for firms that are kind of providing that service.
Yeah, interesting. It's going to be an interesting one to watch. Are there any concerns about that targeted advice?
I think so. Obviously, the targeted one is a non-advised option proposed by the FCA, which allows authorized firms such as kind of product providers to guide their customers towards certain products based on what other people like them, like that consumer, would find suitable. The option would kind of operate under different suitability requirements than like simplified or holistic advice. So it would allow firms to collect limited personal information about a customer and their circumstances to help them kind of make an informed choice. But obviously, the targeted approach will be required to adhere to consumer duty rules and would kind of still align back with that. But firms will be kind of required to assess what the best approach is. But one of the issues that has been raised with this is that it's not going to be great for smaller firms. So the FCA admitted kind of in its proposals that the targeted support may give larger advice firms a competitive advantage and then therefore result in more consolidation, which is a cause for concern, obviously. And the Regulatory Act has obviously said that, the proposals for simplified advice may make kind of holistic advice more expensive and less easily available. So, to facilitate that, the FCA is obviously kind of open to going back to kind of pre-RDR days and allowing firms to offer this service for free through cross-subsidy, which obviously was banned by the RDR regulation. So, as long as kind of appropriate protections are in place, it is something they've said they're open to, but it obviously is concerning that it will be kind of not as beneficial maybe for smaller firms. But whether that actually goes ahead, obviously they're in the consultation phase, we don't quite know, but that is probably one of the biggest sort of concerns that people have raised with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where that goes. And finally, Tara, I suppose one of the backdrops to so much of what has happened in the last year or so has been the macroeconomic environment. You know, inflation going up, rates following them. We've got this, towards the end of last year, we saw inflation go down to 3.9%. Rates are still high. I suppose the one of the questions is inflation going to keep going down, and when will rates follow them?
Yeah, I think the kind of the fall in inflation that we saw at the end of 2023 puts a bit of pressure kind of on the Bank of England to bring the interest rate down. But the Bank of England has kind of said that the economy is moving in the right direction to come down, but there's still a lot of work to be done before that happens. I think people are kind of expecting the interest rate to be cut at some time in 2024, but maybe not not till the end of or the last half of the year. And even then, I think interest rates won't really go down to kind of what people have been, the low rates that people have been used to over the last 15 years. And yeah, I think there's even still warnings that there could be the chance of a recession in 2024. So I think there's still a lot of kind of tough times ahead.
Yes, the soft landing, hard landing debate, I suppose, is something which is going to continue. And I suppose we won't find out. It'll be a few months before we find out the answer to it. Great. Well, that's all we have time for. Thank you very much, Amy, Tara, and Sonia. And thank you for listening. And tune in again next week for the next edition of the FT Advisor podcast. Thank you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.